Little people, big people, all people, if you hear the sound of my voice, you are listening to another episode of Buffed Up Sports. If you want to financially support the show, go to buffedupsports.com, scroll down to the support tab, and become a supporter today. There's so much more on the Buffed Up Sports website, including episodes, social media links, and the platforms to listen to the show on. So make sure you go check it out. Now let me tell you, today is a very, 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 very special day in Buffed Up Sports history, because first, today is actually the 3-year anniversary of this very own podcast. I've been doing this for 3 years, started in 2020. September 4th, 2020 was the very first episode, and here we are, September 4th, 2023, doing it all over again. So, you know, I've been thinking like, all right, the show's reaching its 3rd year anniversary. You know, we got to take things to the new heights. You know, we got to get to new levels over here. So I asked some people, like, what's some things they want to see me do with the show to make it more enjoyable for you all listening out there. One of the things people said was they want me to have more guests on the show. And I'm like, you're right, because I could probably be boring. So who want to hear me talk by myself for 20, 30 minutes every 2 weeks? Like, who really want to hear that? So I'm like, all right, let me reach out some folks, see who want to come on the show. And boom. I found one of my new co-hosts that will be joining me from here on out. So I got my boy Makai on the show today. Say what's up to the people, man.
What's up? What's up? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? First of all, I got to congratulate you. 3 years. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Glad to see you stuck with it, you know.
Man, appreciate it. Appreciate it. So we wanted to do a little something special for y'all today. One, because it's 3 years, so we want to take the time to not only get to know Makai, but get to know myself a little more for those who don't listen to the show as much. So, that being said, we're going to do a mailbag. And if you don't know what a mailbag is, that's when you all, the listeners, sent in a bunch of questions for us to answer. And we're going to answer to the best of our abilities, because we're going to answer on Detroit sports, WNBA, and boxing. You know, the three things that we love to talk about here on Buffed Up Sports. So, with that being said, we're about to get right to it. And here it is with our first question. If you can name your all Detroit Shock, Tulsa Shock, and Dallas Wings, since they all considered the same franchise, if you can name those, first team would you put on there? Because I went positionless, thank God, because the WNBA, they're all WNBA first teams now are positionless. So I kind of cheated the system. So with that being said, on my first team, I got Katie Smith, Arike Ogunbowale, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Swing Cash, and Alicia Gray.
I actually went all Detroit Shock. Nothing else, nothing else. So, at the guard position, we got Katie Smith. Then we got Deanna Nolan. You know, you got to have some cash in there. You got to. You know, so. Then we got Cheryl Ford. At the center position, we got Ruth Riley.
No, that's all right. That's good with me. So, now, the next question we have is, what will the Detroit Lions do this year? And so it was, what will the Lions do this year as far as what is their regular season record going to be? And then, do you think the Lions can win the Super Bowl? Or if not, how far are they going? So, to answer the regular season part, I actually just looked at the schedule yesterday. I'll say, yeah, like, I'm going to go with 11. I'll say 11. And what's that? 11-6 this year. That's my prediction for their regular season record. And then how far they going? Win me a playoff game and I'm good. I'll even take just making the playoffs, but you win me a playoff game, I ain't got nothing to say after that. It ain't nothing to be said.
Yeah, that's the way they finished off last year. I can kind of see them continuing. That didn't seem fluke to me. The highest, though, I'm not going to lie. I got them winning 12 at the highest. And I'll also say this. I think we're going to win the division. Yep, we're going to win the division for sure. But I'm not going to get my hopes up because it's Detroit. And we always get dealt a bad hand, but that's okay. But I'll say this. I think we'll win one playoff game. Just one. And if we go past that, then, hey, I'm cool with that. So, yeah, man.
That's what I'm saying. Just win me one. You win me one, and I'm good. But, like, we go past that, boy, the city gonna be turned. Now, I'm ready for it. So, now we got, who's the better team right now? The Tigers or the Pistons? I'm gonna let you start this one off.
I'm gonna say the Pistons. The Tigers rebuild. It's working, but it ain't it don't feel the same as what's going on with the Pistons right now. We got, like I said, we always get dealt a bad hand. We had a Cade injury last year, kept him out the whole year. And I ain't gonna lie, well, you know when somebody get a haircut, they always tend to do 100 times better. And we seen Jay Knighty cut them locks off, you know. So I think he gonna have a pretty good year this year. And Jalen Duren, same thing. He cut his hair. He been in the lab. He been focused. So I'm ready to see what he gonna do. Yeah, man, it's just a lot to be excited for the Pistons, man. Same thing with the Tigers, but I'm just more excited for the Pistons for sure. So they got the better team.
See, I get what you're saying there, because the Pistons definitely got some foundation going there. You could see the vision, like you say. You got dealt a bad hand last year with the K injury, but I still feel like we're about 2-3 years away from like making a playoff run. I honestly thought it would have been this upcoming season, but again, we got delayed about another year last year with development because of K being out. So I think as far as this upcoming season is going to be what we thought last year was going to be for the Pistons. And then we go forward from there. But I end up saying the Tigers are the better team right now. I think the Tigers, you know, I don't know if they have the exact direction that the Pistons have. I think the Pistons have a brighter future. But like, if I had to go right now, it's definitely the Tigers for me, because even though they probably most likely not making the playoffs, they still technically in it. And then on top of that, I've liked the development I've seen from guys like Spencer Torkelson and what you've seen from Kerry Carpenter this year. Riley Green looks legit. What's the next best move for Errol Spence? Now, with that being said, right after this question was asked, it was announced that he is going to take the rematch with Terrence Crawford. So we don't know the weight that's going to be at. We don't know if it's 147 or 154. We don't know any of those details yet. I know it was rumored to be in December. Again, nothing has been finalized. But so we're going to reword this a little bit. Do you think taking the rematch with Crawford is the best decision for Spence?
Bro, if I'm being totally honest, as a fan, you got to get your get back, man. Ain't no way you let that man slaughter you like that. It was so bad. The problem isn't that he just lost, but he got beat bad. And then at the press conference, he couldn't even look you in the face without laughing. You know what I mean? Like, he just straight up embarrassed dude, outclassed him, and it was supposed to be one of those neck and neck fights. So, man, it probably is the best decision to bring in the money, but you better come with something different this time, because you look scared as soon as you got into the ring. I'm going to be honest with you, so.
You know, I'm not mad at Spence for taking the rematch, because one, it's another payday, and then two, I don't know if it's going to do as much numbers as the first fight, but again, it's another payday. With the Spence fans, right, I know exactly how Spence fans feel, because my boy Deontay Wilder in that second fight with Fury got destroyed, right? And so I was sick, because this Wilder first loss, and I'm like, dang, I just really lost my favorite fighter, get the brakes beat off of him. But then in the third fight, Wilder didn't win. Well, not technically, but that's for another day. But he didn't win the fight, but he came back stronger. So I'm like, if Spence can at least make it an entertaining fight, I don't think anybody would take anything away from him. I'll even give a recent example of a fight I just watched this weekend, Liam Smith versus Chris Eubank. First fight, Smith dominated, Eubank knocked him out. This time in the rematch, Eubank knocked out Smith. So it's like, you never know with boxing. Long as you just get your mindset together, anything can happen. It's a puncher's chance of a sport. I think Spence can possibly make it a better fight the second time. What's a piece of sports trivia that never fails to amaze you?
This one a little crazy. It's a little crazy. It ain't that crazy, but it's something to think about. 60% of NBA players become broke after 5 years. And I don't know why that's so crazy to me, but I just always laugh, because like, we'll see people get like contracts and stuff like that, and we'll be sitting there like, boy, if I had that money, I know exactly what I would do with it. And I feel like this is the example of them getting the money and doing exactly what they said they was going to do, and now they broke.
Nah, because it's just like you said, like, we be like, we going to do this, this, and that, but then they be throwing that money away, and then that money don't last forever, you know? My sports trivia, I got two. First one, Marvin Gaye tried out for the Lions.
What?
This is after he already became, like, big with Motown and all that. And I guess he said if he wasn't a singer, he would have like tried to play baseball or football. So I guess he spent like a month in his gym just trying to bulk up. And obviously he didn't make the team, but he did try out for him. And then sticking with the Lions trivia, the Lions were bought by William Ford the day that JFK was actually killed. So for those two things to happen in the same day is, well, I feel like the Lions are cursed. That's my take. So if you could attend any historic sporting event, what would it be?
All right, bro. I'm not going to lie. This is a real tough question. I got way too many. Game 5 of the 2016 finals. LeBron and Kyrie both put up 41. They turned a tide. And it was just, bro, it was, watching it was just so crazy because it was majestic. Like, they was just out there just straight balling. Like, no plays called, just straight. It was an ISO ball, but it was get Bron or Kyrie the ball, bro, and let them do their thing, man. Another one is probably Game 7 of the NBA Finals with Kobe's last championship. I would love to see that. I'm not going to lie. And I would love to see Kobe's last game, too.
Ooh, I can think about
that. Kobe's last game, he put up 60. That was crazy. I would love to be in that type of atmosphere too. I know it's the Utah Jazz and we don't care about them, but it's Kobe, you know. So
I didn't even think about Kobe last game. That was actually a pretty good one. I didn't see that one coming. That's when I would have said, not gonna lie. I went with, if I could remember, I would have loved to have been at the Pistons in 04 when they won. I would have loved to have been at the Palace that night. And then my other one is, hopefully I'm allowed to see the Lions win the Super Bowl. That's give me that one, man. Give me the Lions win the Super Bowl at this point. If I could be there, I wouldn't ask for nothing else in life at this point. So now, next question. I like this one a lot. How can we encourage more young girls to get involved in basketball and support the WNBA? So I say this much. It's not just about the young girls. We want all the young kids to be involved, but not just the young kids, but we want all people of all ages, you know, not just the young ones, but all ages to watch the WNBA. We want to get them all to support the movement because WNBA got something good going over there. The way you get it done, though, is that the league has to take care of its business, though, because as much as fans, you know, you want to tell fans to watch it, the league's got to take care of things that they own. For example, you need more teams. I feel like you got more teams and more regions, people in those regions pay attention more. You get more broadcasts. You got to be more exposure. If it's on TV more, people going to watch more. And then it goes into, you know, word of mouth. Like, I've had people, I told, hey, watch this game tonight. And they end up watching it. And then, boom, you know, they checking it out. Like, my parents, for example, they don't watch the WNBA no more for real, especially since the Shaq left. But if they see me watching it, they might get locked in for a minute. Like, the night Asia had 53, they was watching. They was amazed. They was like, hey, that's pretty cool. So, you know, if nothing else, they know a few players. Like, they know the Asia Wilsons and the Candace Parker. So, like, that's how you do it. You just got to – if those three things can happen, like I said, teams, broadcast, and word of mouth, it'll be all right. What you got for that?
To get more younger kids in there, I think what they need to do is they need to go back and watch Winning Time with the Lakers on Showtime. Y'all can sponsor me. The reason why I say that is because the NBA wasn't going well at the time. And it really took that different Magic Johnson play style. So what we need right now, which is actually happening if you're paying attention to college ball and high school ball, you got a lot of players who, you know, you got people out here with Kyrie Irving type handles. The ladies out here dribbling like crazy. They doing this. We got high schoolers dunking, ladies dunking. You know what I mean? So if they switch up the play style, make it more fast and stuff like that, and the way it's changing now, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I feel like that'll get younger kids excited because at the end of the day, I know when I was a younger kid, what got me into NBA basketball was not seeing Carmelo post up and shoot a fadeaway or, you know, whatever the case may be, his footwork or whatever, that triple threat. It was LeBron banging. You know what I mean? He coming through the lane, man, he gonna dunk on your head or he gonna hit you with the chase down artist. You know how he is. So I feel like if they switch up the play style a little bit, I'm not gonna lie, it'd be like that. But I will say this, when I went to Vegas, I caught an Aces game, so it was actually exciting. You gotta find Dr. Buss. That's what you gotta find over there to get them to kind of tap into it, because that's what the NBA needed a while ago, and when they got it, it's been changed forever, and the NBA is worldwide now. The Lakers is you know how it is.
Nah, because you just said they need a Dr. Buss. And I was like, they need an owner like the Aces owner. They need like a Mark Davis. You know, they get that, you know, you good. Because like you said, Dr. Buss with the Lakers, you know, he made them a premier franchise as far as like, I mean, it was in L.A. So, I mean, they get the star stuff. You know, they got this, they got that. And that's low-key what Mark Davis is doing with the Aces in Vegas right now. You know, Vegas, major city, whatnot, you know, flashy city people love to go to. So he like, not only do I got a winning product, but I treat my players like they winning like too. So like they the first WNBA team with their own practice facility. Like that's the kind of thing he doing out there. So when you said that, it clicked. I was like, Mark Davis is going to be the one that mess around and turn the WNBA around for the better. So what do you think is the most underrated Detroit sports moment? I'm going one of my personal favorites because I remember this like it was yesterday. It was Christmas Eve, 2011. The Lions were playing the Chargers at Ford Field. The Lions needed the win to clinch a playoff spot. And the Lions smacked the Chargers that game. So the Lions clinched the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. So at that point in time, it was the first time I've seen the Lions in the playoffs. So I was pretty excited because it was like, I'm finally going to see the Lions in the playoffs. So that's probably one of my most underrated moments. Because, I mean, again, your favorite football team clinched the playoffs for the first time in your lifetime. And then on top of that, it's Christmas Eve, too. So it's like it was just good vibes all around, man. That was just a great day.
I gotta say this. The whole Bad Boys era. And the reason why I bring that up and the reason why I picked that one is because I feel like we always get brought up as Michael Jordan's obstacle. And we never talk about us being champions, like ever. Some franchises never won a ring. We got three of them. Two of them came in that era. In the era of Magic, Bird, Jordan, and all these greats, we do not get brought up as champions, like, at all. Like, we just, I don't know. They make it seem like we won a championship as soon as the league started. Like, that's how it feels. But it really was, you know, in the 1980s, 90s, late 80s. Yeah, 89 and 90. So, nah, we don't never get no recognition for that. We just, Michael Jordan has finally beat the Bad Boys. You know how that goes. So, we in every documentary talk about that. We should be talking about how they won their championships. Same thing with the 04 team. We was underrated the whole way there. Then we won one without no superstar, you know? And I was looking it up, too. The highest average on the team was 18 points. Yeah, Chauncey and Rip, they was tied. So, yeah, man, they don't never talk about us when we win a championship. So, yeah, they need to go ahead and talk about that Bad Boys era. We need our Last Dance documentary. We need all of it.
Man, you hit it right on the button, though, because high key, you right. They always talking about, you know, the Pistons. Yeah, Jordan took the Pistons down, but I'm like, hold up. Let's talk about how many times the Pistons beat Jordan. Like, nobody ever want to talk about we beat Jordan more times than Jordan beat the Pistons. And then when he finally did beat the Pistons, he beat an older team at that point. And then don't nobody want to talk about the Pistons, how we took down the Celtics. Like, we pretty much ended the Celtics. We pretty much ended the Lakers. And then going back to, like you said, the 04 team, we ended Shaq and Kobe. You know, the Pistons was game 5-04 was the last time Shaq and Kobe played together. So that's a thing. And then I'll even take it a step further. We built LeBron because then LeBron was the obstacle, you know, the Pistons had. So I'm like, man, y'all, the NBA history wouldn't be worth nothing if it weren't for the Pistons at the end of the day. That's just a bottom line fact. No Jordan story, no LeBron, no Kobe story. Man, I even do you one better. Chauncey Billups, the only player in history to beat or have a winning record against Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron. And then on top of that, he got winning records on Shaq, Curry. I could keep going. So stop. Put some respect on the Pistons' name, man. That's factual at the end of the day. WNBA players always getting compared to the guys in the NBA. So why can't we just appreciate the women for who they are without comparing them to the men? That's a pretty deep question, and I got an answer for it. I don't think everybody gonna like it. Some people are probably doing it in a disrespectful way, but I don't think everybody is. And at least when it's done the way I've heard it, it's not to be disrespectful. And I'll give examples to why I don't think it's disrespectful. Because, for example, you got Michael Jordan and Kobe, right? Kobe is always said to be the second coming of Jordan. They just comparing each other as far as like, yeah, if you didn't grow up on Michael Jordan, watch Kobe and then think of that's what Michael Jordan was, but like maybe on a whole nother level, right? So that's an example. And then I think people do this just because they know more eyes are on the NBA and the guys and whatnot. I mean, it's a fact. Call it what it is, but it's a fact that more people watch men's basketball than women's. So I think with the fact that it's more eyes on the men, people will see a woman player and say of their male counterpart, because they know, okay, if they watch the male side of things, they'll understand what the female side of things is like. So for example, Caitlin Clark, if you say Caitlin Clark is the women's version of Steph Curry, then people might be like, oh, I want to see that because I know Steph Curry can shoot the lights out, which Caitlin Clark can do. So I mean, that I think that's the way people trying to do it. I don't think it's disrespectful, but that's just my take on it.
Honestly, as sports fans, especially basketball, if they stop treating the WNBA like a sequel, I feel like they will stop comparing. But you gotta blame the media for that. You'll get in the media, they'll be like, oh, this person is compared to such and such, or this person is like Diana. Bro, they gonna forever call her the WNBA version of Kobe. Oh, yeah. And it's like, bro, just let her be her. Let her be the GOAT. So, but like I said, you gotta stop treating it like a sequel or a spinoff series, because that's kind of how they treat it. They're like, oh, this player, this is the new protagonist. They just like such and such. But in the sports media, you know it's always and 100% going to be comparisons no matter what. From the time they get drafted, they have draft day comparisons. So it's even then, you know, like if you watch Ball is Life, she the female Kyrie, she the female this, she the female Shaq, she the female Kevin Durant. It's like, bro, you ain't got to add that. Why can't she just be the next Sue Bird or the next Della Don or whatever the case may be? Or just don't compare at all. But like I said, it's media, bro. They're going to compare regardless. But yeah, man, if we stop looking at it like a sequel or a spinoff series, I feel like the NBA comparisons could stop, because honestly, they don't need to happen. Hey, the play style, the speed, and everything else is totally different. Like, completely different, so I have to stop doing it too, though, because I'd definitely be like, oh, that's the female version of Kyrie or whatever the case may be. So,
I'm glad you said that. As far as like, we just gotta stop treating it like as a spinoff, because that's pretty much all it is, in a nutshell. And then keeping on the WNBA, the Detroit Shock, you know, they were relocated. How has the absence of a WNBA team in Detroit affected local interest in women's basketball? I'm gonna let you start off with this one.
So, like I said, for one, Detroit sports, we gonna come out. I remember when they relocated the Cruise, the Motor City Cruise G League team. It was a packed out house. I don't know if it was because of the Cider Baby, but it was a packed out house. So, I feel like we support anything that got the name Detroit on it, or Motor City, or anything like that. If it's from Michigan, they support it. So, yeah. I think once our team left, we had nothing to look forward. And what's crazy is they left, and I stopped watching the WNBA because they left. So it's like, if we could pull up at their games and stuff like that, I feel like we can make it cool again. Like, it'll be a huge interest in here, because we support our sports. We go to Michigan women's games, and we go to, well, I don't know if everybody go to Michigan State games, but you know how we do about our women's sports. So, I mean, yeah, no, they definitely should have left the NBA, the WNBA team out here. We would definitely be all in, especially if we win it. If we win it, oh, we going. Yeah. So
it's like, it ain't even nothing else to be said about that. Like you said, I mean, once they took the team away, it was kind of hard to watch. Like, I know for me, for example, too, when they took the Shock away, I was out of tune with the WNBA for like a good, almost 10 years, because like, I keep up, I would know like who won the championship, all that, but like, was I watching every game like I am now? No. It wasn't even honestly, truth be told, it wasn't until like COVID when I started watching again, because they was like the very first sport to come back. So I was like in the mindset of just, oh, it ain't nothing else to do, let me watch the WNBA, see what's going on. And then I seen Bill Laimbeer coaching the Aces. So me being me, I'm like, a Piston coaching? I'm like, bet, this is my new team then. And then Asia Wilson, this is like my first time watching her. She went off. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is my new team right here. So I've been rocking with the Aces ever since. And so I say all that, though, because sports, I feel like, is more enjoyable when you got that team that you watch, you know, on a regular basis. Like, it's kind of hard to just be a casual of all the teams. But, like, when you got that one team you can lock in with, it make it more enjoyable. And I'm the type that I got to do that with all sports. Otherwise, I'm not watching. So, like, with the WNBA, I had to start watching the Aces more to make me enjoy the rest of the league. So, I feel like if you had a team in your, like I said earlier, if you had a team in your city, you going to watch them more. And then when you watching them so much, you start becoming hip to the other players in the league. Like, that's pretty much all it is in a nutshell. So, to make a long answer short, yes, the absence of a WNBA team definitely hurts. Because I know us two, we not the only ones have said, oh, man, I miss having a team here. Because if we did have one, I would actually watch it more. Or I did used to watch the WNBA, but now I don't no more because we don't have somebody to root for. So,
honestly, if we touched on nostalgia, too. I think that'll also help because there's been plenty of times where I'll randomly be chilling and I'll see a WNBA game and I'll be like, dang, I remember when I went to the Shock. And I remember vividly going with my cousin Zaya all the time. So, yeah, no, if they played on our nostalgia feelings, I'm not going to lie. I think the interest will definitely go up. It will definitely go up, so.
If you could, because this is the last one. If you could interview one sports figure from Detroit sports history, one from the WNBA, and one from boxing, who all would they be?
Far as sports history, far as Detroit, I'm picking Isaiah Thomas. Reason I'm picking him, real cool dude. I actually went to the NBA Summer League. So I was walking trying to find my seat, and he was broadcasting. But, you know, it wasn't on yet. I had slipped up. He caught me. He was like, hey, man, you got to watch where you're going. But he said it in a jokingly manner. He was real cool, though. Like, he's, you know, I would love to interview him. He's energetic. Honestly, he's a short version of Magic. You know, like, he real cool, big smile. So I think it'll be real cool to interview him. And I feel like his stories will be truly legendary. So as far as WNBA, I want to talk to Maya Moore. I feel like ain't nobody really, we don't bring her up no more. I know she ain't in the WNBA no more, and I understand. But, no, honestly, I would love to interview her and just hear her thought process and why she made the changes that she did and why she hasn't returned, too. So, and all that. And you said boxing legend, too, right? Yeah, no. Yep. Shakur Stevenson. That's my current. And Sugar Ray Leonard is my legend. I don't have no specific reason. I just know he was fast, and I like fast. So, yeah. And Shakur Stevenson, I'm not going to lie. He's real. Like I said, he got that cadence, too. I would love to see him. I love to hear what he got to talk about. So, yeah. That's my take on that.
See, for me, Detroit sports was the easiest one by far because, undisputed, my GOAT, Chauncey Billups. I mean, that was no question. I was like, shoot. I mean, I've met him and all that before, but like, if I could sit down and do an interview with him, WNBA, it's a toss-up, man, because I'm going between my first favorite player, Katie Smith, and then my current favorite player, Asia Wilson. But if I had to choose, I'd probably go Asia, man, because Asia not even done yet. She doing things that ain't been done before. Like, she gonna mess around and probably really be the GOAT when it's all said and done. My boxing one, I ain't gonna hold you. I originally had Floyd Mayweather written down, right? Because Floyd my GOAT. Like, you can't argue me that he not the GOAT. So it's like, that was my answer. But then, as far as boxers, there was somebody who did way more, not only for boxing, but just, I'm gonna be blunt, for us Black Americans, and that person is Muhammad Ali. I wish I could have interviewed Muhammad Ali, like, just to get his mind, obviously from the boxing standpoint of thing, like, you considered the greatest, but then at the same time, like, what he did for people's rights and all that, like, the way he turned down going to the war because he felt like this country didn't love him enough, and he was honestly right, especially in that time period. So it's like, stuff like that, all the humanitarian work he did, he just seemed like a great guy that you want to learn more about. So I would have loved to interview Muhammad Ali. That's probably my answer, man. Man, I appreciate you joining. Like I said, y'all, Makai gonna be on here way more. First of all, actually, I should have said this in the beginning. We gotta say a happy birthday to my guy, because his birthday definitely tomorrow. So we gonna go ahead and just tell him happy birthday now real quick. So happy birthday to you, man. You know, thank you for coming on this special episode. You know, again, third year anniversary of Buffed Up Sports. And so, you know, y'all got to have to tell them happy birthday, but I want y'all to tell them yourself. So go ahead and tell the people where to find you at real quick. Plug yourself.
Okay. Actually, I have a a hair page. I'm a loctician and a barber as well. So if you need a cut or a retwist, come tap in with me. My Instagram is Makaya the Lock Barber. That is MEKHIAH the Lock Barber _. And then if you want to find me on my personal is Makaya. It's MEK period HIAH. So that's where you can find me, bro.
And there it is. Thank you all for listening today. I hope you come back to hear more episodes. If you can, please subscribe, leave a rating, and leave a review, please. I love to hear the feedback. And if you love today's episode, send it to a friend or two, because we love to have the friends listen as well. So to keep up with my life in the podcast, go to buffdosports.com for the links to my social media pages, podcast episodes, and ways to financially support the show. Now, just remember to follow these words. Spread love. Keep your chest out. Hold your head up. Show off them pretty teeth. And don't y'all worry about a thing. Until next time, y'all be good out there. God bless you all. Just vibes.